Good morning. I welcome you all here again to First Baptist Church Texaco, and I want to thank the Scott family for providing the beautiful music this morning. If you would, turn to Colossians chapter 3, and hopefully we'll finish up the third chapter this morning and even covering the first verse of chapter 4. As we've been studying this chapter 3, we've been looking really at sanctification, and chapter 1 and 2 really taught a simple but very vast doctrine that Christ is sufficient for everything, for salvation, for sanctification. And really since chapter 3 verse 1, we've been looking at how to put on the new man. Now that you are saved, seek the things above, set your mind on things above, put on the new and kill off the old that remains in your flesh. Last week we even looked at the biblical home. So not only is the person supposed to be renewed, but the home is supposed to be renewed. That God gives a biblical order that is set for a biblical household, for the wives, for the husbands, for the children and the parents. This morning we're going to look at really going a step further in the work field. And so it begins with the person, and then it goes to the family, and then now to the work field. And this, we're going to read here verses 22 through chapter 4, verse 1 about slaves and masters. Now this is definitely a cultural thing that was part of their society then, with slaves and masters. And really, we can't relate to that here at Texaco, New Mexico, but what this is speaking of is really the employer and the employee, the work field. Let's read these verses together this morning, beginning in chapter 3, verse 22. It says, "Slaves, in all things, obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service as those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and without partiality." Chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven." Let's pray. Father, we bow before you now in thankfulness for allowing us to be here. Lord, I pray as we look at this doctrine, it's really of sanctification, but in the context of the workforce, Father, as we have our home and our new lives, but Father, how we act in society with others, our relationship to others, Father, I pray that we would be encouraged this morning, that we would be convicted this morning, that we would leave here knowing that you are worthy to put on this new self, that you are worthy to serve, that you are worthy to honor in all that we do, Father. And I pray that this morning that we would honor you in all that we do, that you would be glorified in you alone. Well, I pray that your spirit would go forth, that we would, again, just convict us, encourage us, motivate us, whatever we need this morning, Father. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen. So again, really looking at these words, slaves and masters. Again, in Paul's time of this New Testament, this was part of their society. But the slaves and masters in which they have, guys, is not what we've really have in the American history. But we think of slaves and masters. Many times these slaves in biblical times were even better off than free poor man. A free poor man had no clothes most of the time, no food, no security of home. But a slave that under his master, they had food, they had a place to stay, they had clothes. And many times the master would even teach their slaves their trade. Whether they were a tax collector or a carpenter or a physician, they would teach that trade to these slaves. Now again, this context is speaking of Christian slaves and Christian masters. There's always going to be evil masters and that treat their slaves harshly. Even in our time, evil employers that treat their employees awful. And even in slaves, there'd be awful employees and unsaved slaves even in this time. But in this context, this is speaking of sanctification in the workforce. So these are saved slaves and masters. So Scripture never advocates for slavery. It does, and so it recognizes it as an element of society in biblical times. This speaks again to Christian masters and slaves. The Lord and His apostles use it as a pattern for spiritual instruction. So in this context of slaves and masters, in the broader context of salvation, Christ is master. We are slave. So they use this illustration for a spiritual greaterness of us serving our master, our Lord. So the New Testament accepts slavery as a social reality and seeks to instruct those in that system to behave in a godly manner. Little history lesson that before we start digging into these verses to kind of bring the context together more. And so the same time this is being written, another letter is being sent to the Colossian church. And many, many, many months ago, as we did the introduction to Colossians, we learned about a man named Epaphras. And Epaphras was saved under Paul when he was at mission work in Ephesus. And Epaphras goes back to Colossae and starts this church. Well, there was another man who was saved under Paul in Ephesus who made his way back to Colossae, and his name was Philemon. Now, Philemon was a wealthy man, and in fact, the Colossian church was held in his home. Now, Philemon is known to have at least one slave, and his name's Onesimus. So with this stuff transpiring with Colossians, with Epaphras fearing the false teaching that's coming in and him making that long journey to Paul, which is now imprisoned in Rome. And he makes this long journey to seek help from Paul, which brings about the letter of Colossians. Well, as that's transpiring over here by God's providence, Onesimus wrongs Philemon. Many believe that he stole from him. He wronged him in some way. Well, Rome was a place for runaway slaves. So Onesimus fled Philemon to Rome. And by God's providence, we don't know if he recognized Epaphras, but by some way, Onesimus gets saved under Paul. So Paul, writing this letter to Colossians, he's also writing a letter to Philemon, which we get the letter in the book Philemon. But Epaphras stays with Paul in Rome, and he sends this letter of Colossians back with a man named Tychicus. Well, he also sends the letter of Philemon with Onesimus to go back to that church, to go back to Philemon. And the reason I want to cover this kind of, it's kind of a history lesson and to kind of go in between the lines of the context of this book, is when Paul is writing this in Colossians with slaves and masters, there's no doubt that he had Onesimus and Philemon in his mind. To send this same letter with Tychicus of Colossians, and he sent Philemon to go to the same church, but one is directed to Philemon. And even Paul pleads with Philemon to forgive Onesimus, which we'll cover here in a second. But I think that brings together the context of really what's on the forefront of Paul's mind here, of speaking with slaves and masters. Philemon was Onesimus' master, and Onesimus was his slave. So beginning really in verse 22, we're going to see two things this morning, slaves and masters, from the point of view of both. And verse 22 starts out, slaves. The word for doulos. It's even affiliated again with the greater context of Christians. Paul, many times when he starts off his letters, it says Paul, many translations say bondservant, but you can translate that to slave. Paul, the slave of Christ. Peter does the same thing. Peter, the bondservant or slave of Christ. So never losing sight of the spiritual greaterness here of that we're slaves to Christ, the great master. But it even flows over into obedience in the workforce. The slaves, in all things, obey. In all things, obey. The slaves means to devote yourself to another. To devote yourself to another. Even in the workforce, employees, in all things, obey. The slave can even mean one who gives himself up to another's will, whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. These all things refers to both enjoyable things and distasteful things. Now, similar to the family, similar even to as we're commanded to obey the government, these all things does not mean sinful things. We're commanded to obey the government until they command us to do something contrary to the word of God. And then we, as Peter said in Acts, we follow Christ. We obey Christ rather than men. And the same thing, that this is not telling slaves and employees, obey your masters, even when they command you to do something contrary to the word of God. But this all thing speaks to things that maybe you like and things maybe you don't like. The distasteful thing, not necessarily sinful thing, just things you don't like. But he's saying slaves or employees, obey your masters or your employers in all things. Obey them. For this is pleasing to God. It says, those who are your masters on earth, your bosses on earth. Obey them in everything. Now this means that not only when the master or the boss is watching, but to obey him even when he's not watching. But it even continues here in verse 22. It says, your masters who are on earth, not with external service. Not with external service as those who merely please your men, but with sincerity of heart. Now, this external service is just going through the motions on the outside. So he's telling us here, just with the family, an illustration of children, you're not just to obey your parents with your mouth, with your actions, but with your heart. The same with the slaves or employees. You are to obey your masters or your employer, not only with outward actions, but with sincerity of heart. You long to do it. You desire to do it. It's not just outward. And it even said that's what external service is. It's just outward service. It's not with a willing heart in obedience, but just to do it because to do it. It's just external. It's just physical. But as a Christian, an employee, guys, and always view, if you're a Christian and you're in the workforce, this is how you should view your work ethic. It's not just an external service. It's not just to please your employer, as it continues to say there, as those who merely please men. Guys, you can do everything right on the outside and you can please your boss or please your master. But if it's not with a sincerity of heart, if you do not desire to do it, if you do not long to do it because it pleases Christ, you're not truly obeying your boss, but ultimately Christ. The sincerity means to be sincere, not seeking anything in return. So we're called to obey our masters, our bosses that God has given us on this earth, not with just externally, but with sincerity of heart. And it ends there at the very end, fearing the Lord. As those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This fearing the Lord is a loving, reverential fear of God. It's in awe of him. It's in respect of him. As we serve our earthly masters or our earthly employee or employers, because it pleases God. God commands us to do this, and out of a reverential fear of God, that's not a trembling fear of God, but a healthy, loving fear of God, we obey our earthly bosses, which God has put us under. Having a sincere heart toward your employer is to have a sincere heart in serving Christ. It pleases him. By obeying your employer with a sincere, obedient heart is to have a high view of God and what his will is for your life. And second, we'll get to the masters. They have a major role to play in this as well. But you see that but there, a contrast. We are not to serve our earthly bosses just with our actions, but with our heart. With our heart. Same as wives. Wives, you're not just to submit to your husbands in some outward action, but from the heart. Husbands, you're not just to love your wives by some outward action, but from the heart. From the heart, with sincerity of heart. You mean it. You desire to do it. Guys, and we all fail in this. This is not easy. This is why it's called sanctification. It's a process, putting on this new man. But if you do not have your eyes focused on Christ and the greater good of this, the fact of you're serving him as a master, because you will stumble every time in this. We must keep our eyes focused on Christ, for he is sufficient. Verse 23, he says, whatever you do, and this goes back to the all things, whatever you do, whether it's the distasteful things, whether it's the joyful things, the easy things, the hard things, whatever you do, do your work heartily. Do your work heartily. This heartily means not being lazy or dishonest, but putting on the whole man into effort. The inward man, the heart, and the outward. Putting it fully into effort. As for the Lord, rather for men. Serving our employer as we would the Lord himself. And that's not comparing your earthly boss or your earthly master to Christ. But truly how you serve your boss, how you serve your and obey your employer is to show how you would obey Christ. Again, not losing the context of Christ as the true master. Everything stems from that.
It's not just an outward action, but it's inward. It's from the heart. You desire to work heartily. You have a sincere fear from the Lord. He said, I'm going to honor him even in my job. Even in my job. I'm not going to be dishonest or lazy, but I'm going to work with every effort that I have. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. So whatever you do, whatever job you have, whatever degree that you have that you're putting into the workforce, do it with a sincere heart. Do it heartily. For it's for the Lord, not just for men. You serve your employer as you would serve Christ with 100%. Because ultimately, you're not just serving your employer. You're not just obeying your employer, but you're obeying Christ. That's the big picture. You're not just obeying your boss at work, but to view that is, God has given me that boss, and by me obeying him, it obeys Christ. It glorifies Christ. It exalts him. Guys, I'll be honest, in studying this week, it's hard to wrap your mind around this. You never think about that much. But obeying your boss is truly to obey Christ. It's truly to obey Christ. Now in verse 24 and 25, he gives us two motivations to obey. Two reasons why to obey. One is a positive and one is a negative. Verse 24 brings a positive. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. This is the positive. We serve and we will be rewarded. We're never promised reward from our earthly masters. We never promised a reward for our earthly bosses. But this is the Lord promising that you will receive reward of the inheritance. We will receive a reward from the true master, Christ. Now this inheritance, this is very interesting. Though we are slaves, guys, and to view yourself as a slave of Christ, there's no greater honor, there's no greater privilege than that. But here we are, slaves to Christ, but one day we will be rewarded as sons and heirs of the kingdom. That's what we'll be rewarded as, guys. But even in our working ethics and working for our employers, we will be rewarded for that. We will be rewarded. So guys, we can even have one mind there thinking of, it's not just for self-gain, saying, man, I'm going to do this because I'm going to get rewarded. We serve in our work, guys, because Christ is worthy of it. We obey him because he is worthy of our service. And he commands us here, obey your masters. Obey your masters. Again, guys, this is not easy to do. This is not easy to do. But imagine, and we'll get to the masters here in a second. Imagine society. If both slaves and masters, bosses and employees, had this fear for the Lord to honor him in all that they do. Imagine. Imagine society change. We're going to get to that in a moment about Paul's view of society. It's through a changed heart. But imagine this, guys. And this again, this is speaking to Christians. This is speaking to Christians because truly, unbelievers, yes, they can obey their masters, but it's just external. They can't truly have a sincerity of heart because they don't know Christ. They can't truly do it. And we're going to see here with Onesimus as Paul sends him back to Philemon as a slave to seek forgiveness, to wrong his right. He pleads with Philemon to forgive him, even to put it on his own account. Put on Paul's account. So guys, again, with viewing with our workforce, whether job or school, whatever it is, even with a student and a teacher, we are to obey them. We are to obey them. First Peter, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I don't know how much I think about this on a daily basis, but definitely not before studying this as much of guys, how our worth ethic is and how we work. Guys, we'll be rewarded for that as Christians. We'll be rewarded for that. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That living hope is what all believers live in. But here's verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Is this inheritance that we'll inherit one day? This reward? It's imperishable. Guys, right now we live in a perishable body. Everything we see is perishing around us. But one day we will have an inheritance that is imperishable. It won't fade away. It won't be defiled. It won't be just some good. But guys, it will be the greatest thing that we can't even imagine. Guys, we cannot imagine. And he promises us that this inheritance, this undefiled inheritance, is reserved for you in heaven. Because we will be rewarded of how we conduct ourselves here. That's why Paul puts so much emphasis in Colossians of putting on this new man. Kill the sin in your life. Put on a heart of compassion and humility and gentleness. Love your family and have a biblical home. This is why he puts so much emphasis in this, guys. Because we serve a great master who deserves of all of that. He deserves every bit of it. And one day we will have an inheritance, guys, that will not perish. It's not just a little bit, but it's perfect. We will be glorified. We'll be glorified. That's the inheritance that waits for us one day. When we leave this world and enter into the next, we will have that reward. Guys, and think about this. We don't deserve that reward. We don't deserve that reward. Guys, and truly, Onesimus, going back to Philemon, he may not deserve the forgiveness. He wronged him. He wronged Philemon. But Paul sends him back with that letter, pleading with Philemon to forgive him. That's how Paul viewed slaves and masters. Not as some harsh ill treatment as what we maybe think of when we think of slaves and masters, but a loving biblical relationship between the slave and the master. He even tells Philemon, don't think of him anymore as this, as a slave. Even though he, in capacity of society, he still would be. He says, don't think of him just as a slave, but as a brother in Christ now. That's how Paul viewed this, guys. And again, even flowing over into our day, maybe with the workforce, with our employees, or us being employees and our employers. Guys, this is how the workforce is supposed to work, especially within a Christian society. The slaves, the employees, are just to obey their bosses. They are to obey their masters. But he says here at the end, again, we serve our employer as we should serve Christ. We will get a reward one day for that. We will get a reward. Now, verse 25 brings a negative part. We've seen the positive, guys, in serving. In obeying your master, your boss, you will be rewarded for that. But the negative part of this is verse 25 says, for he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong which he has done, and that without partiality. Now, you can look at this from one, unbelievers will have great consequences. They will stand in judgment forever. They will be completely separated from any grace or mercy from God, but under his eternal judgment. But what about believers? Scripture tells us that we will not endure the second death. We will not be a part of the second death, judgment. So what does this mean for believers? Well, we touched on last week, even with children and parents disciplining their children out of love to grow them up. It's the same with the Lord and us, guys. If we do not obey in this specific context of the employer and the employee, as we may have consequences. He will discipline us. He will discipline us. The Lord will discipline those in the disobedience. So when we don't obey like we should, there may be consequences for that. Not eternal consequences. You're not going to lose your salvation or be judged eternally for that. But there could be consequences here on this earth for that. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in
Verse 6 says, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh, reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are in the household of the faith. Guys, in the workforce, if you reap disobedience, that's what you will sow. You will sow from that. Now, on the flip side of that, if you sow biblical things, if you sow obedience, that's what you will reap. You will reap a reward. That goes both ways there. If you obey your bosses, if you obey your masters, you will reap from that good inheritance. But if you don't, you will reap consequences from that. And again, we don't know what those consequences are. Everybody could be different. We don't know. But at the end there, he says, and he'll have consequences from the wrong which he's done without partiality. We learned in Colossians 3:11 that there's no distinction between Greek and Jew and uncircumcised and circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. If you're of Christ, there is no superior Christian. There's no lower Christian. And even with the consequences, he will show he is not biased. He will show no partiality. Doesn't matter if you're the Apostle Paul or Peter or us. Disobedience is disobedience. And you may have consequences for that, even in the workforce, even in your jobs. He shows no partiality. But truly, Christ is whom we serve. So work for the true master, Christ. And back in verse 24, at the end there, it says, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. This is a very unfamiliar wording that Paul uses here. He never uses this any other place, Lord and Christ together like that. Usually Jesus is affiliated in there. But it is the Lord Christ. He is telling you, serve your master, Christ. Because if you truly are obeying your bosses, your employers, you are truly serving Christ. That's who you're truly obeying. And we must keep that big picture, because if we lose sight of that, and we all do at times, guys, we all fail and sin. But if we lose sight of that, guys, it becomes hard to obey them. It becomes hard. But when we have that broad view, that fixing our minds on Christ, fixing our eyes on Christ, saying, by me serving my boss is serving Christ. By obeying my boss in all things is obeying Christ. That's what we're called to do as slaves. That's what Paul is saying here. Even with the mindset of sending Onesimus back to Philemon. In Philemon, verse 17 and 18, says, this is Paul speaking, if then you regard me as a partner, he's talking to Philemon, as a fellow saint in Christ, accept him, Onesimus, as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. Many, many weeks ago, we learned about bearing with one another and forgiving one another. Guys, this flows not only to the family, to the individual, but to the workforce. Employees, slaves, bear with your bosses. Forgive your bosses. And masters, in the same way, bear with your employees. Forgive your employees. But what Paul is doing here in Philemon is he is telling Philemon, accept him as you would accept me. As he comes to you, even though he's wronged you, treat him as if I am coming to you personally. And if he has wronged you in any way and owes you anything, charge it to my account. Paul acknowledged that a Christian slave, Onesimus, was responsible to repay Philemon. He didn't undermine that. He didn't condone his disobedience. He sends him back. Paul wanted him to make it right. This is how he viewed slaves and masters. Even as disobedient Christians, we have a duty to serve our masters with dignity and honesty. And with Onesimus being saved now, he understood that. Guys, and he had a chance
One reason why he sent him back with somebody, Tychicus, he had a chance to be caught by slave traders, those who are seeking out runaway slaves. He had a chance, but he had wronged his master. He had disobeyed his master. So he goes back to Philemon to make it right. And even he has Paul at his age saying to Philemon, put it on my account. If he owes you anything, put it on my account. Treat him as if you would treat me. Put his, whatever he owes you on me. That sounds a little familiar, does it not? Like Philemon, Philemon was wronged. He was. Onesimus wronged him. He sinned against his master. And Paul tells Philemon, what? Put it on my account. Forgive him. Guys, like Philemon, God has been wronged. And like Onesimus, a sinner, we have a debt as sinners. And like Paul, Christ pays that debt. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that he nailed that decree to the cross. It's finished. It's done. We are redeemed. We're saved. And in, positionally, we're perfect. We're just as, when God sees us, he sees Christ. That's the picture Paul is painting here in Colossians, with using even the context of Philemon to go along with it. Slaves, you obey your masters because truly you're obeying Christ and he is worthy of it. Redeemed sinners, we are slaves of Christ. He has brought us to a place where we owed a debt, and now we serve him for all, forever, eternally, even here on this earth. And that's flowing over to the physical aspect of slaves and masters, bosses and employees. Serve your bosses, employers, or employees. Serve them. Obey them. Because truly, by doing that, you are serving Christ. You are serving Christ. John MacArthur writes in a quote saying, without making effort to protest slavery, Paul seemed to understand that if he could establish the point that slaves were equals in the body of Christ, then in time the structure of slavery in Roman Empire would crumble. And it did. Paul's motive was to change the heart, not to change society. Because he knew a changed heart would then go out and change society by preaching Christ. So as we see the slaves here in masters, as we'll get to here in a second. Guys, this is what God sets up. Guys, and again, we can't maybe relate to slaves and masters. We can bosses and employees. So we see the slaves, you are to obey your master, your boss. Chapter 4, verse 1 brings about the masters. Now it's the other person's turn. It's the master's turn. Masters, grant your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Justice, to do what is approved and acceptable in the sight of God. Fairness is to treat them equally, showing no favoritism, bias, or partiality. So masters, you grant your slaves. Bosses, grant your employees with fairness and gentleness. That's the calling of the master. But at the end there, he says, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. In the same way, masters, you will be rewarded by treating your employees with justice and fairness. In the same way, masters, you will be held accountable with consequences if you do not. That last part there, knowing that you too have a master in heaven. Coming from a master standpoint here in this context, masters or bosses, as you treat your employees with justice and fairness, does Christ not treat us with justice, with righteousness, with mercy, with grace? That should be the model for bosses, for masters, and treating their employees. Because we have a great master in heaven that we serve every day. We must be the salt and light to this world, in society, in community, and in our homes. And the way to do that is by putting on this new man.
Again, Colossians 3 is just enriched with this. Verse 1, seek the things above. Verse 2, set your mind on things above. Verse 5, kill the sin in your life. Verse 12 says, bear much fruit in the sense of put on a heart of compassion, gentleness, humbleness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And verse 10, here's the key. Be renewed by the true knowledge of Christ. Be richly dwelt in the word of God. Psalm chapter 1 tells us that the righteous man, the Christian, will meditate on the word of God day and night. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. Got a key to do these things. The key to seek the things above, the key to kill the sin in your life, the key to bear much fruit, the key to having a biblical home, and the key to be a Christian out in society in the workforce is to put on the new man. Because we can't do this on our own. If we serve ourselves, even as Christians, if we're doing it just outwardly, guys, we're not serving Christ. But what it means to be a slave of Christ is to mean that it's no longer your life anymore. It's now Christ's life in you. Christ is the master. He is the king. He is Lord. We are his slaves. So we serve him as long as he commands us to be here. Well, what happens when you have an unruly boss? You continue to serve Christ. What happens when they come and tell you, you can't live that way? You continue to serve Christ. What happens when they come and say, you can't preach Christ anymore? We serve Christ. What happens when they come and take away our church building and say, you can't meet publicly anymore? We serve Christ. What happens when they said, if you show up to teach Christ, you're going to be thrown in jail? What happens? We serve Christ rather than men. And what happens when they say, you'll be killed if you stand for Christ? What do? We serve Christ. Because we are his slaves. He is the great master. And one day when we leave this world, when we cross the threshold into the next, we will serve him for eternity. We will praise him for eternity. Guys, if you hadn't seen the bigger picture here, because we serve Christ and Christ alone. None other. But one way we can serve Christ is to obey our bosses, masters, bosses. Treat your employees fairly and justly. Knowing that we serve a greater master in heaven. And one day we will be with him glorified, serving him forever face to face. And that's the calling of putting on this new self. We put on this new self because he is worthy of it. We put on this new self because he gives us the freedom to not be dragged by chains of unredeemed life anymore. We have the freedom to live for him, to kill the sin in our life, to have compassion, to have true kindness and humility and gentleness and patience, to have love, to bear with one another and forgive one another. We have that. We are to be renewed to a true knowledge. We are to walk in a worthy manner. Look what Christ has done, guys. He has brought us from a place of being spiritually dead, being enemies of God and haters of God, and he has brought us to a newness of life. Salvation cost us nothing. Christ paid with his life, but for us, it cost us nothing. But being a Christian will cost you everything. It will cost you everything. You may not lose your life, but to view being a Christian, to view being a slave, what Paul meant as Paul, a slave of Christ, what he meant by that is it was no longer his life. He said, I am at the will of a greater master that I serve. And it's the same motive and attitude that we should have in our lives, even in the workforce. Because we glorify God when we obey our bosses, when we obey our masters. And masters glorify God when they treat their employees with fairness, gentleness, just, bearing with them, forgiving them. Many take this passage as Scripture condones slavery. That's not what's going on here. And if that's what people believe, they've missed it. They've missed the purpose of this, guys.
We are called to obey Christ in all things because we are slaves of Christ, not just with outward traditions, not just to please men, but out of a healthy fear of the Lord, with a sincerity of heart, we serve Christ until the moment we're not here anymore. But then we get to truly serve Christ because we will not have this defiled, perishable body with us. We will have a new, imperishable, glorified body, and we get to bow and serve Christ forever. So as we leave here this morning and go about our job, whether you're a boss or whether you're an employee, we can take both away. But in that work field, whatever job you have or school, whatever it is, you truly serve Christ as Christians. And that should overflow into the work field. It should overflow into your lives. That's what it means to be putting on the new man. Put on this new man. Because positionally, guys, we're perfect. Practically, we're not. It's a process. But how great a love that God has for us, even as sinners, that he calls us children of God. And so that we are. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we can gather as saints, as Christians, as slaves of you. I pray that we would leave here not just with a history lesson of how your providence works in these books, Father, but that we would leave here with a will that is ignited to serve you. Father, whether that be in the home, whether it be in our own lives, whether it be in our work, to truly serve in all those capacities is to truly serve you. Father, I pray for courage. I pray for strength. Father, we know that standing to be a Christian will get harder and harder. I pray that we will have the true knowledge that's renewed in us every day that we would grow in. Father, I pray that you would convict us, that you'd grow us, that you would encourage us, or that we would leave here this morning as servants of you, as better stewards of your word. Father, I thank you for all that are here this morning and tuning in. I just pray that we all would see how worthy you are of our lives in service to you. That in all that we do, that we would glorify you, Father. And I pray this in your son's name. Amen.